Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to In the Open. Today is just America and I, Teresa. And today we're going to talk about how we may hate or not hate the holidays.
My initial instinct is, no, I like the holidays. And then I thought about it a little more. And there are aspects to the holidays that I hate.
Why am I the curmudgeon on this damn podcast?
It's not that you're that. I think what exists in my mind is I could so easily go into a negative space that I push myself to find happiness so that I fight all the negativity as much as I can.
Do you like planning parties?
No, not really, but I am a very good planner.
Oh, yeah. So maybe this is about strengths because I am horrible.
Is that the part that you hate, the planning of stuff?
There's so many things to hate about the holidays. I don't hate all holidays. The only holiday I actually really love is Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So for this year, I'm grieving the loss of Thanksgiving, which is now why I hate this holiday that's coming up, that's happening now, because everything that I did love, which is about eating a crap ton of food until I passed out on the couch while watching bad movies, is the only thing I like about holidays. And that has now been robbed from me. I sound like such a curmudgeon. I'm going through this anxious thing where, like, I think I'm trying to fight off the onset of a depressed space. So I'm like falling back into my planning, right? Like to prep to make sure I don't fall into a depressed space. So that means I have to pay extra attention to the way my brain becomes overly negative. And I do that by feeling anxious about my overly negative thoughts, to use my anxiety to fight the depression.
Well, you mentioned something though, like Teresa, you said,
that's the guilt.
You normally love Thanksgiving because you can eat and just chill.
Yeah.
Is there any connection there to the people that you actually eat with? Anything like that?
So there are lots of reasons why this year sucks that isn't just because of coronavirus, right? We had a lot of family fights this year just to top off 2020. So part of that is just like, do you really care about going to see the people that you're forced to sit in a room with? I've definitely had moments where you're like thinking about having to be around or engage with some people just made me feel more anxious and angry, not sad. And then have thoughts where you're like, well, what's the point? Like, it's just better to be alone. And then in your head, you're like, well, then I'm just alone during the holidays.
But you're not really alone, though.
But my brain is telling me I'm alone.
Okay. Because your husband is with you and your kids are with you.
I know. This is why the depressed brain sucks, right? Because you don't see the things you have in front of you. And this is actually a big problem for my husband because he's like, why don't we do our own thing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, with who? You? I see you every day.
Okay.
So I don't get to see the people I like, but I also guess I don't have to be forced to see the people I don't want to see. But these are all the problems with holidays.
Yes.
There's so much expectation wrapped into them, especially Christmas. I hate Christmas.
You know what's funny in what you're saying, though, Teresa, and really what we've talked about, like, in this last year is expectations.
Yeah.
So much is tied to what we expect to be, what others expect of us, how we're supposedly expected to function, cooperate, share, everything.
And Christmas is laden with expectations about gift giving and money spent. And anytime there are transactions in a holiday, Easter, do I have to go to church? Is my mom going to tell me I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell? New Year's, am I supposed to have a date?
Oh, God.
And kiss somebody today and be super thrilled about the new year? Or St. Patrick's Day, am I supposed to get drunk and go to a bar? Maybe I don't want to do any of that. I just want to sit at home.
Well, I would say on my end, like, the expectation of things, even with Thanksgiving, there is some feelings of, I should do this. Where I connect to is this broader concept of what family is. And it's not just my immediate family, right? It's not just my mom and my parents and things like that, or my fiance. It's my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. It's all of us. And for some reason, I feel guilt when it's just us. You know, like if my fiance were to be like, well, we'll just do Thanksgiving on our own, I'd be like, what? No, that's not how it's supposed to happen. So it's there's so much emotion tied to it.
Yeah. And then if you just don't like your family.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure from society to have this thing that we see on holiday movies.
Yes.
And our relationship as a society with Christmas is so problematic. People are supposed to have these like beautiful caroling lights. Like nobody's family is like that. Let's be honest. Like, or maybe that's just my perspective. I'm literally always, I'm celebrating all the movies I watch where people's family lives are disastrous because I feel alliance with that. And I'm just like, yes, thank you. Instead of like the Hallmark. But my sister is solidly Hallmark and we're still in the same family, but her coping skill, her coping mechanism is to pretend like everything that was bad that happened just didn't happen. And I'm just like, how do you even approach each other and forget that that all happened? Like, yeah. I'm not a grudge holder, but I can't just move on, you know?
The thoughts that immediately come to mind are, one, about grieving, right? Grieving whatever it is that we expected, others expected of us. Whatever we thought was going to happen in February of this year compared to now, where we're just like, yeah, okay, the world's on fire and we're just still trying to survive. So part of all of that is tied to the grief, you know, the sadness that we may feel, the anger that we may feel, especially if folks have lost a person, right? Mm-hmm. A loved one. And there's like a huge piece of you that's missing.
Yeah.
The second kind of thing that you mentioned is this idea of how it is that we connect to primarily these two holidays that are coming, right? Like Thanksgiving, maybe Hanukkah for some, you know, Christmas, whatever, like the holiday season. Like I feel like that is in some way encapsulated by a Hallmark card that you're supposed to feel this way and it's all nice and joyful. And look at these little snowmen playing in the snow. And you're like, the stuff doesn't look like that. Even more so right now, stuff does not look like perfection because there is no perfection.
This is where holidays run right against your mental health challenges. And that's why I asked about parties, because to me, the area that holidays make me freak out the most is why I also don't like planning parties or going to parties. And I can't tell if that's my anxiety, if it's about being a weird introvert, extrovert, or just being weird, being socially awkward. All of those things happen at parties.
Yeah. I like parties, but there is a difference between liking a party and enjoying the company of the people that are at the party.
Okay, so if I have a party with my seven people that I love to max and I'm super comfortable in their presence, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But if I have to go to a party, like our holiday staff party, I literally can become paralyzed and I'll just want to stand in the corner and pray no one comes to talk to me.
Yeah, I would imagine that that's definitely tied more to maybe like the social anxiety aspect of it, right? Like, you have to, and that expectation, you have to interact with people. You have to look like you're having fun.
And the anxiety brain is like, am I holding this plate right? Is my dress look weird? How do I look when I'm chewing this food? It's everything, everything. I don't know if you know that for an anxiety brain, all of these thoughts are going on in your mind. You literally cannot enjoy meeting someone new because I am self-conscious about the way I am chewing my food.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think in some capacity I deal with that, but not at the level that you're like referencing.
And then if it's if I'm not in a new situation,
yeah,
with like holiday party or whatever, our annual holiday party, by the way, serious anxiety provoker, right? But if I'm not if I'm not talking about that kind of situation, even at home, it's like, did the food come out okay? Where are people coming from? Did I clean the house? What are people eating? Are we going to leave with not enough food? There's like cultural aspects. Like, don't you dare be the person that didn't make enough food. Shame to your cow. Shame to your family.
Yeah.
You literally underfed people. That's like the worst thing you can do as an Asian, because we literally love through food, right? So like,
yeah,
we one time destroyed a meal and I spent the whole day ruminating about the destroyed meal. You know, it's just like, ah, everybody else is like, fine. They're like, whatever, bad things happen.
God, and I wish I could
literally
be
standing by the pot trying to figure out how to save this ruined soup. And then literally days after trying to think about texting my brother and be like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Like, why am I thinking about this?
You make me want to step into these memories that I have and think about what it's like to be in a room full of people, because I haven't been in that space. I think we haven't been in that type of space in so many months. Because of the lack of that kind of social connection, I would kind of love it. But at the same time, be like, do you have a mask on?
Oh my gosh.
Forget have you washed your hands? You know, like...
So I already struggle with so much anxiety. I was not able to pick up the coronavirus fear anxiety. But my husband, who is normally my even-keeled, chill person, like enjoying company life, he picked up all that anxiety for our whole family. And he's just like, are you okay with me yelling at your family if they decide to come up to us? And I'm just like, what does that mean you're going to yell at them? Like, what does that look like? Am I going to have to, you know, it's just like, yeah. What? And for him, I'm like, I totally get it. I would probably yell at them too if I wasn't utterly just paralyzed.
Yeah.
And honestly, we came to the point where we're just like, screw it. We're canceling everything. And then I had to grieve and just be like, I'm just going to go buy sliced turkey and eat it sadly in front of the stove. I'm like, yeah. This is my version of grieving.
I want to sit a little bit with this idea of the hatred that you mentioned.
Do you hate the warm up?
What do you mean?
The warm up is all the anticipation. So for people, they get excited. They want to decorate. They want to get in the spirit of the holidays. And for people who hate holidays, I feel like we watch those people and it builds the anger where you're just like, why can't I join you? There's something about my brain that doesn't let me see the things the way you see the things. And we try, like I do. Like the Christmas tree is a problem for me. One year, I almost never bought a tree. And the day before Christmas, I have kids.
Yeah.
The day before Christmas, bought a tree.
I won't do anything until after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for me is more about coming together with the family. And I would love it. Like I'm a full games person, like to like play games and do that. There are certain parts of my family that are like, I want to do that. And it's like, oh, man, but you just want to sit there. We never see each other and you just want to sit there. So part of that is tied to that. And then when you're talking about this buildup, like the other day I happened to hear Christmas music and I was like, ah! And I like for a moment, I just wanted to run out of the store screaming, you know, and I was like, okay, America, calm down. Just don't sing along because, you know, you automatically, like my brain automatically will take it in and da, 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 and I was like, no.
Oh my gosh, you just reminded me something. So because holidays have so much anxiety around the planning aspect and the expectation aspect, but I do love Christmas music.
So there's a glimmer of hope.
I was, it's not that I'm like a super curmudgeon, okay? These podcasts force these ideas into these pocket meetings, but like no person is a monolith. Like, yes, I do love things about holidays, like eating and being with people I do love. I also do love Christmas music. I love Christmas music so much, but I have to listen to it that I'm that person that listens to Christmas music in July. I know, but it's just to get Christmas music in.
Oh my God,
no. After the holidays. So I'll sometimes just throw on a Christmas song, not during Christmas. So there are things, yes, okay. There are things that I do like about the holidays.
Like, there are certain traditions that in my family we've kept up for many years, which are like the happiest moments that I have around the holidays. Us playing stuff together, you know, like making like specific meals. And then because we have young children in the family, right? And just, I guess this is just a naturally occurring thing with me that I'd be like, okay, we have to do activities. So every year we do stuff, you know, we make freaking sugar cookies and things like that. I don't necessarily love that. I just like the fact that the kids are going to be able to have a memory, even if it takes time and it's freaking annoying, it's still a memory that is part of their childhood. So those are the things that I like latch onto so that I don't become this like angry monster, be like, oh, why?
Literally, holiday equates to family. So holiday is family on steroids. So the way you feel about holidays often, I think, is tied to the way that you see your family and your expectation of what those relationships are supposed to mean. My problem is with my family, it's the one space in my life where I have unresolved grief. Like, I'm not necessarily holding a grudge if I felt like there was resolution, but with your family, this is the one place where people get to hurt you over and over and over again in ways they don't even see. And there's no sometimes resolution. So you're expected to just move on and not talk about it, or like blood is thicker than water, which that phrase is dumb, first of all, because that's not even what that phrase means. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to move on from these hurts that you gave me, even though you've never acknowledged that what you do can be painful. Like, is that grudge holding, or is that feeling?
I don't think that's grudge holding at all. That's trauma.
And when people want to come at you because relationships and family is so intense, and they want to be like, well, what do you want from us? Or like, what do you expect? Every phrase that's little like that, it just carries so much weight to it. It's hard to let those things go. Like, you don't just bounce back from that crap. You also can't break up with your family. You know, if my friends hurt me the way my family members can be hurtful, you would just be like, dude, bye. I have other friends, you know? It's harder with family, I think. And it's mixed bag. I will just say this one thing because y'all have me on a soapbox. It's not like one person is all bad and all good. The person that can be hurtful is also your best friend. The people that hurt you the most can also be the person that you long for and want to be with the most. And that's so painful. I'm about to cry.
Well,
like your mother or your best friend's sister, you know, you have good, some of the most intensely good memories and some of the most intensely hurtful memories with the people who are closest to you.
The hurt, I think, that exists for many people, which is amplified during this time because of the expectations that we hold, either we've learned how to kind of navigate the road enough to avoid those trigger points, or you kind of are learning how to do that and you stumble into them again, which, you know, how one of the episodes were like, why does this continue to happen? And you blame yourself because I should have known better. I've gone through this. It happens every year. And I think part of that is because we don't accept that it's okay for us to feel hurt. And without having our story validated by whoever it is that hurt us, because that may not always be available to us, or the person can't do it, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the other person. It's us. So you walk into these situations where there are so many expectations of yourself and of the people that are there supposedly to be with you, guide you, help you along your path, whatever. And then it's like somebody just like smacked you upside the head. And it's like, why do you think things are supposed to be all nice and pretty and Hallmark special? That's not reality. So when you talk about this hate of the holidays, I really have to focus on any inkling of positivity that exists in minor moments that will help me move through the holidays. Because it's sad, you know, like I think about some of the things where if there's a lot of unresolved crap in the family amongst people that are really supposed to be there, and then you have to sit there and pretend that things are okay. And even more so now than ever, where maybe you have some limited things that people can't travel and so many people only are allowed and all that. If I'm sitting across from this one person, the idea of the person completely changed during this time. And you're just like, I have to sit here and face you.
That's what's interesting about this year is that it released a lot of people from obligation that I think a lot of people will find solace in. They're like, why can't every year be like this? I don't even have to have an excuse where I don't want
right.
to have
That's
to see
what I was
you.
Gonna say, yeah.
Oh, I could just be like, nope, we're not seeing anybody. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost like a relief, you know? You're like,
it's
great.
Like, why aren't you flying cross country? Oh, we can't get on planes.
Yeah. As you were talking, I just started to think, and I never thought of it that way, but liking the holidays, I think there are people who like things about the holidays and hate things about the holidays. And that's pretty normal, standard, par for the course, whatever. But if you love, or hate the holidays, to me, this is where it's about privilege. Loving the holidays comes with a lot of benefit. There are a lot of things that you must have had that gets you to that place. And so if you hate the holiday, the opposite is true, right? It's because of things that we didn't get.
Mm. Yeah, that's a very good point, Teresa. You know, the only thing that kind of sits in my heart is like, even if I don't have anything, and I'm talking material, okay, anything. For some people, it may be enough that I have my dog or something like that that helps you recognize that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. And that to me is about acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about hating or loving the holidays, I don't think there's enough attention around grief. And when mm-hmm. I hear you say, well, I want to move towards seeing the things that I have, which is where we do want people to go. This is where this podcast is going to end. Because no, we're not asking you to just crawl in your hole of misery, which is totally understandable, is talking about this from a grief perspective. I have to grieve the fact that I don't have what it looks like other people have, and honoring how hard that really is. And being able to self-soothe yourself that you don't have those things so that you can get to acceptance and see the things that you do have.
I read an article about, you know, oftentimes for folks that do hate the holidays, there is a connection to something that is supposedly missing, right? Missing in quotes from what the expectation is of that time frame. So whatever that you think or others believe is missing in your life for you to have a special holiday season with a glittery Hallmark presentation, I feel like taking a bat to that and being like, I have to find something that works for me.
Yeah.
For me, and it's making sugar cookies.
Sugar cookies, yeah. Finding the little bit of control where you do have it.
Yeah.
I will also say that there are times in my life where it's more or less painful.
Mm-hmm.
So just because things can suck, I can reflect on times or years where things were good because the pressure was laid off and there was some healing in families, and we can't make life a light switch. It isn't all or none. Like,
yeah,
if this is a bad year, just remember, this is a bad year. Next year can be a better year. And there have been other years that were better years.
Yeah, I think that is a very solid way to like go out, that it's not all or nothing.
Yeah.
You and I can exist in the in-between for a very long time and we'll be fine.
it's just that holidays have a way of elevating that kind of thinking that makes you want to do all or none thinking or sit in a space where you're just feeling bad for yourself all the time for like a lot of time. And that's the depressed voice. That's the depressed brain. And I'm probably anticipating the holidays and feeling guilty about being so curmudgeon-y because I'm working against falling into that trap and being the all or none. So I have to use my guilt to prevent me from going to a very dark space. And that's a good thing. I see that as a strength. It's better to feel guilty about being a curmudgeon than just giving into it.
Yeah.
In these times of high expectation and high stress times, what I can see is that if you don't take this time to take care of yourself, and if I don't roll back the stress from work and everything and attend to my mind and my body, then I leave myself at risk for just falling into the hole or the trap that I know I've fallen into the past. So honestly, as we leave on what works or doesn't work, around holidays, it is my responsibility to be good to myself. I have to pay extra attention to not piling on work, not piling on expectations, because I need the mental, emotional space to be good to my mind, or else I basically put myself at risk for falling into a depressed episode starting in December and not getting out of it in February. And I've had years where that happens and it sucks. So I've had enough times now where I know don't do that. Like right now, I have to be very protective of my brain so I can be good through the new year and not fall into a trap.
Yeah.
Tell me something you're grateful for. Let's practice gratitude.
Okay, let's practice gratitude. Okay. I am grateful for, that's hard. What am I grateful for?
I am grateful for a house over my head, a job that I have, friends that I know who love me, my husband who, even though we are both anxious, is always trying to push me to see the positive side of things. I have food to eat. Like, I'm not hungry, you know?
Yes to all of the above, what you said, you know? Shelter, food, comfort. I think above all of that, I am grateful that I am still willing to continue to like learn so that I can get better.
Oh, I'm also grateful that these hard times also teach me how strong I am. That's a big one.
That is a big one.
That's hard because self-love is the hardest kind of love. But yeah, man, I am strong.
I am also grateful for Teresa spending at least some time with you every week for the last, I don't know how many weeks.
Don't make me cry.
So think about what you're grateful for, even if you hate the holidays.
Yeah, I know. Practicing gratitude is a skill. I need to flex those muscles.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Keep on fighting. In the open.